You know, one thing you should get on your tongue is Psalm 91. I mean, you should just get that on your tongue. There you go. There you go. That's one of the things that, you know, we should just have. That's our protection.
It took me about 2 months to memorize it.
Yeah, I know. It's just a pain to memorize, but but it, but we get it in our heart, and then we say it. And you know, God has a way of watching over His word and causing it to be performed on our behalf. You know, I said that every morning before my feet would hit the ground, and I'd start saying that, and I kept my hay in this little barn, and I'd go out there to feed my horse. And every morning I'd go in there, and it'd be dark, and I'd grab my hay, and I'd go out there, and I would feed the horse. Well, the pastor called me one day, and he said, "You need to move your hay out of the barn, because there was a 3-foot rattlesnake laying right there by your hay bale." I wonder how many times I reached down there and grabbed hay, and that snake was laying there. All right. Open your Bibles up to 1 John chapter 5, and we'll talk about prayer and the power of praise. You know, 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. This is literally our direction. This is your secret code. You could call it your bird's nest on the ground, if you would. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 says, "This is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him." Okay. Right there is our directions. That's our secret recipe to answered prayer. Prayer doesn't have to be a struggle in the dark, but it seems like that to a lot of people. But right here in verse 14, we'll break this prayer down just a little bit so we get a hold of it. "This is the confidence that we have in Him." Okay, so the first thing that we got to know about this recipe is confidence in God. Now, how are we going to have confidence in God? Well, it tells us, Romans chapter 1, I believe it is. Romans chapter 8, verse 1 says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus." No condemnation. That's how we have confidence towards God. When we understand that we're not condemned, that we've been forgiven, we've been washed in the blood of Jesus, and we are right before God, we have confidence. Our confidence is not in and of ourselves. It's not of our talents. It's not of what we know. It's not anything other than who we know. It's who we know. One guy told me in the oil field, it's not what you know, it's who you know. You know, in life, it's not what you know, it's who you know, and His name is Jesus. And it's because of what He did that we can have boldness and confidence with God. So right there is the first part of our little mixture right there. We have confidence with God. If you are lacking confidence with God, go back to the first step. Find out where you've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You've been made a new creature in Christ Jesus. How He washed away your sins. And He's not condemning you. Then let's go to the next step. And see, that's one of those things. Remember, this is one of those in Him things I told you to look up. We have confidence in Him, and it's because of Jesus, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Okay. This is where people get goofy. This is where people get goofy, because I've seen people look for His will all over the place. And the only place you're going to find His will is in the Bible. That's the only place you're going to find His will. Where the struggle really is we're attached to the flesh. And this is a fight that every one of us has to have. Especially if you were out in the world for quite a while before you got born again, and you got attached to some fleshly things, and you're not ready to turn those loose, and you want that to be God's will for your life. And it's not going to be God's will for your life. God's will for your life is going to be found in the Bible. See, this is where people have a struggle. They start seeing that some of the things that they thought were right are actually wrong. And some of the things that they thought were wrong were actually right. But we want answers to prayer, so we got to know what His will is. And His will is His word. That is His word. He wrote it down for us. Now, usually when people are desperate for an answer to prayer, it's because something bad has happened, or something challenging has happened, or there's something that they really need has crossed their path. Now we got to find out what the answer is in the Bible. Remember, if there's something wrong, it's because there's something right has already been established. You know, what the blessing came before the curse. See, Satan, he got a hold of the blessing and he twisted it. And that's how the curse came about. See, there was no sickness in the garden. There was no poverty in the garden. There was no lack in the garden. There was no fear in the garden. Anything that was wrong, anything that is wrong now is because of the devil. So, we go to His will, His word, His will, and we find the answer. If it's sickness, we go in there and we find out where it was by His stripes we were healed. If we are lacking funds, we go in the Bible, we find out where it says that God shall supply all our needs according to His will, riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Everything that's wrong has an answer that's right. There's nothing that God didn't cover. There's nothing. You know, Jesus said a prayer in the garden, and He was the only one that has ever had any business praying this prayer. He said, "Nevertheless, if it be thy will, so be it." Now, Christians have picked that up, and they have mixed that in with their prayers all over the place. And Christians have absolutely no business doing that. But they use it as an excuse for doubt and unbelief. They use it as a way out. They really, what it is a backdoor way of blaming God for not getting what they prayed for. They'll say something like this: "Father, I need healing in my body, and I ask You in the name of Jesus to heal me, if it be Thy will." And then they don't get healed, and they say, "Well, it wasn't God's will to heal them." That's a lie straight from the pit of hell. Jesus healed everybody that came to him in faith. In fact, he told the leper, he said, I will. He told him that was his will. But see how they do that? They don't want to take responsibility for their own lives, so they blame God for their lack. A loved one will be, maybe a young child or something will be on his deathbed, and they'll pray and pray and pray, if it be thy will, save this baby, and the baby dies. Well, it wasn't God's will for that baby to live. No, that's a lie straight from the pit of hell. See, Christians do not ever have any business throwing that in their prayer. What they need to do, if they don't know what God's will is, they need to go pick this thing up and find out what his will is. He wrote it down. We have an answer for everything we need in this Bible. All we have to do is cooperate with him and go in there and find it. And if you need some help, you can Google it. You can literally Google a couple words and then type King James, and it'll pull up a whole bunch of verses you can look at. But there's too many Christians that are sitting on their butts waiting for a burning bush experience to change their world. And God's waiting for us to pick up his Bible and find out what he said and change our world. Now, the next part of this, he hears us. It's important for us to understand this. I've had people tell me that God does not hear their prayers. I actually had people tell me God doesn't hear the prayers of sinners. Well, if he doesn't hear the prayer of sinners, then nobody is saved. You see how a false doctrine just tears people up? We need to understand that he hears us. The minute we become a child of God, see, he hears us before that, but he also hears us when we get to be the children of God, when we get born again. That changes everything. Now he's given us the name of Jesus to use in our prayers. When you use the name of Jesus, all of heaven stands up and pays attention to that. And that is backed by the very throne of God. That name is backed by deity. That is the most powerful name that you can use. And he gave you the power of attorney to use it. So know this, that he hears your prayers. And here's the, we're going to knock down another false doctrine now. People run around and say, sometimes it's yes, sometimes it's maybe, and sometimes it's no. That's not, you cannot find that in the Bible anywhere. As a matter of fact, if it says anything about that, it says the promises of God in him are yea and amen. It doesn't say anything in there about him saying no to his word. Now, verse 15 says, if you know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, let's stop right there. Whatsoever we ask. Now, did it say anything? Did it say anything like this? If you ask for the things you need? No? It said, whatsoever you ask. you know, if it's in line with God's word, and you're using his word, you're returning it to him, that's the key. He's going to hear it. Are you going to believe it and receive it? Now, whatsoever we ask, that's a pretty bold statement. But see, he's talking to whosoever's. See, the minute you get born again, you get to be a whosoever. You're not a whomie may anymore. See, the Bible tells us that the devil walks about seeking whom he may devour. You are not a whom he may. You are a whosoever from the tribe of Judah. That's who you belong to. Jesus. You are a whosoever. And whatsoever ye shall ask, ye shall have. Now, it says right here, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. That breaks it down. That makes it pretty simple. We know we're in right standing with God, so we can take his word, we can return it to him in the name of Jesus, and believe we receive it. We know that we're going to have it. And we plant a good seed in our prayers. Now there's, see, here's the thing. Too many people live their life like a rototiller. They will plant that seed and they'll get outside of the word of faith, get outside of the church, and they'll go out there like a rototiller on heroin and just till up their whole garden. They'll just tear it all up. They'll dig up everything they just planted with the words of their mouth. Now, you don't have to wait until you see the manifestation before you believe that you have it. I just heard a Christian say this just the other day, and it drives me nuts. I'll see it when I believe it. I heard somebody was talking about rain. She said, I'll believe it when I see it. That's one of the challenges that we have in this county. You know how hard it is to get a whole congregation into agreement on anything? Pretty hard. You know how hard it is to get a whole town into agreement? And you only get to deal with them once or twice a year. And then people wonder why things are the way they are. Well, you can't have most of the county running around in doubt and unbelief and expect things to be any different now, can you? And she's running around saying, I'll believe it when I see it. Now, you see why people get the results that they get? Because they're waiting to see it before they believe it. That's not faith. If you believe, you receive, you pray. When you pray, you can begin to praise God for the answer. Now, here's where we watch over our seed. See, people a lot of times do a good job at planting their seed, and they do a terrible job at tending their garden. See, a lot of people think they just pray it, walk off, and forget it. You know, if we go over to this garden and we plant plants and seeds into that garden, we don't just walk away until September and go over there and start picking vegetables. That's not the way it works. We watch over that garden. We watered that garden. And see, that's in the natural. How much more important is it going to be for us to watch over our spiritual garden and water our spiritual seeds? And see, praise is the answer to that. See, the Bible tells us that we've been made kings and priests. Kings decree something. Priests offer up praise. So we pray, and then we praise God for the answer. Look at Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So right there he said, yes, go ahead and pray. But there's thanksgiving going on too. You know, in fact, Jesus got to the tomb of Lazarus and he thanked his way into a miracle. So we pray the word of faith, we pray the prayer of faith, and we start offering up praises to God. You know, he says he has freely given us all things with Christ Jesus. So if we go into the prayer room and we start thanking him for what he has already given, we may not have it in the natural, it may not have manifested yet, but it's surely not going to if we don't start thanking him for it. Now, is it? So we run around and we start thanking him. Say, thank you, Father, by his stripes I was healed. Thank you, Father, that you meet all my needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And say, I pray these things in the name of Jesus. What did you just do? You just took his word and returned it to him. You prayed the prayer of faith. Faith involves thanksgiving and praise. See, you and God are working together. And it is your prayer and it's his power. The way you get his power involved is by using his word, and then you just kick it into overdrive by using the name of Jesus. It doesn't have to be a long-winded prayer. Maybe you have a financial concern. What would be wrong with saying, Father, I thank you that I'm forgiven by the blood of Jesus. And I enter your throne room because of the blood of Jesus. Your word said that you would meet all my needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I thank you, Father, for this. And I receive your provision in the name of Jesus. See, now you're not begging God. You're going to him as his own child and receiving from him. There's too many people begging God for something that he's already given them. I know they need it. They may need whatever it is that they need. And they need it bad, and they may need it now, but begging is not going to get the job done. Faith will. But you're not going to operate in faith unless you first know the principles of faith. Thanksgiving is one of the things that'll kick in your faith faster than anything you can imagine. Start thanking him for what he's already given you. Well, I don't have it in my pocket. I don't have it You know, I still feel like a rat. I don't have this, I don't have that, I don't see this. He's already given it to you. Thank Him for it. If you have to, go meditate on that promise a little while. Get it in your heart. Thank Him for it. Start praising Him for it. Now, let's look at Psalms chapter 8, verse 1. O Lord our God, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. He's talking about praise right there. When we start praising God, there's strength in that. That steals the avenger. You know, you may have a problem. It may be a big problem. But what happens when you focus on that problem and you lay awake at night, all night long, thinking about that problem? What happens? That problem gets bigger and meaner looking and more confusing. Yeah. And you just still, you can't even come up with anything. But, see, Jesus never told us to focus on the problem now, did He? He told us to focus on Him. When we start praising God, that changes things. Well, that gets our attention off of our problem and gets our attention onto the answer. Also, praise has a way of stealing the, of making the avenger stop. Now you're focused on the answer. Your problem gets smaller and God gets bigger. See, your reality is going to be what you focus on. And your reality is going to be designed by the words of your mouth. See, people don't like to look at it like this. They run around and they say, well, God is sovereign. And He certainly is sovereign. 100%. God is sovereign. But see, the way they're using that word is that God is totally in control of everything. Which biblically is not correct. God is sovereign 100%. And in His sovereignty, He gave us dominion over this planet. See, I don't like it when people, you know, they'll say, you know, they'll see some rat fink politician, they say, well, God is sovereign. And He's in control. And I say, you need to give God more credit than Obama. God has good plans for this world, and Obama is not one of them. But people will like to, it's their backdoor way of putting the blame on God and not taking the responsibility for themselves. Say, no, it was us. We didn't stand up and make enough noise about this rat. You know, the church, did we even get 50% of the church to vote this year? Huh? Yeah, this church. This church, but what they call the church, Did we even get 50% of what they call evangelical Christians to go to the boat? See, some of them, it irritates me. One of them, I ran into a preacher the other day. He said, I did not vote. I said, really? He said, I cannot agree with Trump. And his wife is Catholic, and I'm not even going to go there. I said, really? Yeah, see, people get twisted in their thinking to the point where they just can't grasp reality. You know, by not voting for Trump, they, in actuality, voted for that crazy lunatic woman. But see, we got to understand that God, yes, He is sovereign and He is in control, but down here on this earth, He gave us dominion over this earth to take care of it. And we can't blame God for the way things have turned out. We have to take the responsibility for that. I mean, we have to take control over what we say. We have to take control over what we think. And we have to take control over what we do. And if it hurts somebody's feelings, they'll get over it or they won't. We have to stand up and say, no, this is wrong. See, if we don't, who's going to? But we know now that God gave us the directions on how things need to go, right? So we can't take some sneaky road and lay the blame on God. It rests solely on us, on what we believe and what we say and what we do. We pick up the Word of God, find the answer, return it to Him in the name of Jesus and receive it by faith? Or do we beg God for something and throw in, if it be thy will? It's up to us. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. We praise you for everything you do for us. We thank you that you hear our prayers. And we thank you that our prayers are supercharged by the name of Jesus. And when we take your word, which is your will, and put it in our hearts, and put it in our mouth, and return it to you, we know that you hear us loud and clear, and we don't have to holler. You hear us. And we thank you that the answer is yes. And we praise you. And we thank you that you're here to teach us and show us that you already wrote down the directions how to pray. And you're going to show us how to watch over our faith garden and keep the weeds out. We praise you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.